For decades, when we thought about Parkinson's disease, our focus was, well, squarely on the brain.
Right, the central nervous system.
We imagined it starting and spreading there, specifically, you know, with the loss of dopamine neurons in the substantia nigra.
A classic model.
But what if I told you that this traditional view is being radically overturned piece by fascinating piece?
That's a really exciting time in the field.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into an area of neuroscience that's just brimming with new discoveries. We're unraveling the surprising potential origins of Parkinson's disease far beyond what we once believed. We're going to unpack the evidence suggesting Parkinson's might begin in places like your gut, your nose, and incredibly, maybe even your kidney.
All driven by the misfolding of that crucial protein, alpha-synuclein.
Exactly, alpha-synuclein.
And what's fascinating here, I think, is how clinical observations, things often dismissed as secondary symptoms, they really provided the first major clues.
You mean the non-motor symptom?
Precisely. Patients reported things like constipation, sleep problems, loss of smell years, sometimes, you know, decades before the classic motor signs appeared.
Wow, decades.
Yeah. So it raises this important question. Could alpha-synuclein pathology actually begin in these peripheral systems and then sort of propagate to the brain?
Right, moving inwards.
Exactly. We'll explore how scientists are connecting these dots, moving from correlation to causation, and how this new understanding is reshaping everything from, well, early diagnosis right through to personalized therapies.
Okay, let's unpack this then. The idea that Parkinson's could start in the gut. It sounds almost like science fiction, doesn't it?
It does seem counterintuitive at first glance.
But the evidence is surprisingly compelling, you're saying. Before we go further, let's talk about the second brain, the enteric nervous system. Many of our listeners, master students in neurosciences, will be familiar, but maybe a quick refresher.
Absolutely. The ENS is quite something. It contains nearly 100 million neurons, motor, sensory, inner neurons.
Comparable to the spinal cord, right?
That's right. And it can coordinate complex gastrointestinal functions pretty much independently. It's got these key plexuses.
Auerbach's and Meissner's?
Exactly. The myenteric plexus, Auerbach's, governs gut motility. The submucosal plexus, Meissner's, senses what's going on in the lumen and regulates secretion and blood flow.
So it's a complex system down there.
Indeed. And crucially, the ENS is not isolated. It maintains this constant bidirectional communication with the central nervous system, mainly via the vagus nerve and sympathetic ganglia.
Ah, the vagus nerve connection.
Yes. So if misfolded alpha-synuclein first arises in the gut, this ENS vagus pathway provides a direct anatomical route for that pathology to spread right into the brain.
Okay, that makes anatomical sense.
But the ENS doesn't work alone. It exists in this close partnership with the gut microbiota, trillions of microorganisms in our intestines.
The microbiome.
Right. And here's where it gets really interesting for Parkinson's disease. A disrupted balance, or dysbiosis, can trigger local and systemic effects. Think increased inflammation influencing the gut-brain axis.
And even how drugs are metabolized.
And even altering how medications like levodopa are metabolized, yes.
So what does this all mean for the gut-first hypothesis? What specific evidence do we have?
Okay, there are basically three converging observations supporting it.
Lay them out for us.
First, those early clinical signs. Constipation is present in like 50-80% of Parkinson's patients, often starting 10-20 years before motor symptoms.
That long before? Wow.
It strongly suggests early gastrointestinal involvement. Second, postmortem studies. They consistently find alpha-synuclein aggregates, you know, Lewy body-like pathology in the enteric nervous system of Parkinson's patients.
So the protein clumps are actually in the gut neurons?
Yes, showing accumulation outside the brain. And third, the spread via the vagus nerve, which fits with the brake hypothesis.
The idea that it travels upwards.
That misfolded alpha-synuclein in the ENS could travel to the brainstem via the vagus nerve. Once in the CNS, these aggregates act like seeds, spreading the misfolding to other neurons, gradually advancing, explaining the progressive nature of PD.
That's compelling correlational evidence, definitely. But, as we always stress, correlation isn't causation. How do researchers actually tackle that jump?
Good question. That's where animal models come in. Researchers have done experiments where they injected recombinant alpha-synuclein fibrils or even brain lysates from Parkinson's patients directly into the intestinal wall of rodents.
Okay, what happened?
Within days, misfolded alpha-synuclein was detectable in the vagus nerve and then the brainstem. And critically, this led to degeneration of dopamine neurons and Parkinson's-like symptoms, both motor and non-motor.
And the controls.
Absolutely essential. Cutting the vagus nerve performing a vagotomy prevented the spread and the symptoms.
So the vagus nerve was necessary for the spread.
It appears so. Also, in mice that genetically lack their own alpha-synuclein, the SMANCA knockout mice, the pathology didn't progress.
Showing that the bad alpha-synuclein needs the normal kind to spread the misfolding. Like a template.
Exactly. Needs that substrate.
Yeah.
This then raises the next question. What exactly in the gut environment might kick off this misfolding in the first place?
Right. What's the trigger?
Recent work on a specific bacterium, Proteus mirabilis, provides a really concrete mechanistic link here.
Proteus mirabilis.
Yeah, it's a gram-negative bacterium in the gut microbiota. In mouse models, infection with P. mirabilis led to alpha-synuclein aggregation in the intestine, which then propagated along the vagus nerve and induced dopaminergic neurodegeneration.
That's quite direct.
And they even identified a specific virulence factor, Haemolysin A, or HPMA.
HPMA.
Yes. It seems to interact directly with alpha-synuclein, promoting its oligomerization and pore formation, and activating stress pathways like MTO-mediated autophagy.
Wow. That's a direct molecular link from a gut bug to alpha-synuclein misfolding. It's incredible. Right. And what about this concept of a leaky gut? How does that fit in?
Well, under healthy conditions, the intestinal barrier is very selective. But in Parkinson's, it seems dysbiosis can increase the production of harmful things like lipopolysaccharides, LPS, from gram-negative bacteria. Mm-hmm. These promote inflammation and can weaken that epithelial barrier, increasing intestinal permeability. That's the leaky gut.
So things can get through that normally wouldn't.
Exactly. Bacterial products, inflammatory mediators, maybe even misfolded alpha-synuclein itself could cross into the bloodstream or interact more easily with enteric neurons, potentially setting off that cascade towards the brain.
Which explains the interest in microbiome therapies.
Precisely. It's why these microbiome-targeted interventions are being seriously looked at as possible disease-modifying strategies.
Beyond just disease progression, can this gut dysbiosis actually affect how we treat Parkinson's right now?
Absolutely. And here's where it gets really interesting for clinical practice. Levodopa, the gold standard treatment, it needs to reach the brain intact.
Right.
But certain gut bacteria, particularly one called Enterococcus faecalis, produce an enzyme called tyrosine decarboxylase, or TDC.
TDC.
This enzyme converts levodopa into dopamine right there in the gut.
But dopamine can't cross a blood-brain barrier effectively.
Exactly. So this premature metabolism reduces the drug's efficacy, affecting symptom control. It helps explain why some patients respond so differently to levodopa.
And suggests maybe manipulating the microbiome could actually improve levodopa therapy.
That's the hope, yes. It could enhance treatment effectiveness.
So if the gut can be a starting point, does that mean Parkinson's isn't just one single disease? Is it more like a collection of different pathways?
Precisely. That thinking has led to this body first versus brain first hypothesis. It proposes Parkinson's is really a spectrum with different starting points.
Which would explain why patients can be so different.
Exactly. It helps explain the striking heterogeneity.
Hmm.
So in the body first subtype, the idea is that alpha-synuclein pathology begins in the periphery, the ENS, or maybe other organs like the heart, and then spreads via the vagus nerve to the brainstem, then up into cortical areas. These patients often have those non-motor symptoms, constipation, REM sleep behavior disorder, anosmia for years first.
Right, the long prodrome.
Yes. And imaging often shows more symmetric dopamine loss, and you can sometimes detect alpha-synuclein peripherally.
And the brain first?
In brain first subtype, the pathology might start higher up, maybe the olfactory bulb or the amygdala, and then spread downwards.
So the opposite direction in a way?
Sort of. These patients typically present with asymmetric motor symptoms, often tremor dominant, and they tend not to have that long non-motor phase. Imaging reflects asymmetric dopamine loss and peripheral alpha-synuclein is usually absent early on.
And why is this distinction important clinically?
Well, it could be huge. It could improve diagnosis with tailored biomarkers, lead to more targeted therapies like gut interventions for body first versus neuroprotective strategies for brain first, and really help stratify patients better in clinical trials.
You mentioned the olfactory bulb as a potential starting point for the brain first subtype. How does that pathway work? It seems quite exposed.
It is. The olfactory bulb offers another plausible gateway because it's got this direct line into the brain, bypassing many protective barriers.
Like inhaled substances.
Exactly. Inhaled toxicants, pesticides, pollutants could directly interact with olfactory neurons and potentially trigger alpha-synuclein misfolding there.
And clinically, loss of smell is a very early sign.
One of the most consistent, yes. Hyposmia often appears years before motor problems, suggesting olfactory circuits are hit early. And the pathology backs this up.
Lewy bodies in the olfactory bulb.
Consistently detected early in post-mortem studies, in break stages I and II, and animal models, like that Ray et al. Study from 2016.
What did they show?
They injected alpha-synuclein fibrils into the olfactory bulb of rodents. The pathology spread progressively along connected brain regions, just like in humans, and caused non-motor symptoms.
Providing causal evidence for that route, too.
Yes, it shows misfolded alpha-synuclein there can act as a true initiating seed.
So what could be triggering these different entry points then? Is it still about genetics, or are environmental factors looking more important?
While genetics definitely play a role, especially in some familial forms, the evidence is mounting strongly for environmental factors, particularly in sporadic Parkinson's, which is most cases.
So different environments, different entry points.
That seems plausible. And the gut-first pathway, maybe dietary toxins, pesticides, or those microbiota changes disturb the gut, promoting inflammation and dysbiosis, making it vulnerable.
And for brain first.
Maybe inhaled toxicants reaching the brain directly via the nose and olfactory bulb.
Oh.
Both scenarios show how environmental exposures could be the initiating event, with misfolded alpha-synuclein then spreading in that prion-like way.
Okay, so given these new understandings, particularly about the gut, let's circle back to therapies. Can we realistically target the microbiome?
Well, microbiome-based interventions are definitely moving beyond science fiction. Researchers are testing several strategies.
Like what?
Fecal microbiota transplantation, FMT, is one direct approach. Hartley Parkinson's trial shows some potential improvements in GI symptoms and maybe even motor function.
FMT, okay. What else?
Less invasive things like probiotics adding good bacteria and prebiotics feeding the good bacteria you already have.
Are there other, maybe more targeted approaches being explored?
Yes, things like specific antibiotics, perhaps polyphenols with anti-inflammatory effects, bacteriophages that target specific bacteria, even sophisticated tools like CRISPR for editing the microbiome are being considered.
That sounds incredibly promising, but also incredibly complex. I mean, everyone's microbiome is unique, isn't it? It seems like a huge challenge.
You're absolutely right. It is hugely complex. The microbiome isn't uniform at all. Factors like donor-recipient matching for FMT, how you prepare the gut, individual responses, it all plays a role.
So no one-size-fits-all pill just yet?
Definitely not. We're still far from that.
Yeah.
But this convergence of neurology and microbiology, it really could open up entirely new avenues for treating not just symptoms, but maybe, just maybe, the origins.
And just when we thought we were getting a handle on the gut and the nose, something even newer has popped up. Just published, you said, the kidney.
Yes, this is really hot off the press from earlier this year, 2025. Truly breaking news.
What did they find?
Researchers found phosphorylated alpha-synuclein deposits in kidney tissue from Parkinson's patients, but not in healthy controls.
Okay, so the pathology is in the kidney.
And even more strikingly, in experimental models, when they injected alpha-synuclein fibrils into the kidney.
It spread.
It spread. First into the spinal cord, then up into brainstem nuclei, eventually reaching the substantia nigra and hippocampus.
So the kidney could be another gateway, like the gut or the nose.
Exactly. It profoundly challenges us to stop thinking of Parkinson's as having a single origin, or even just two.
What are the implications of that?
Well, if alpha-synuclein pathology can start in the kidney, it offers a potential new peripheral window for diagnosis.
Yep.
Maybe kidney biopsies or biomarkers related to kidney function.
And therapeutically.
Therapeutically, it reinforces this idea of targeting misfolded proteins in peripheral organs, gut, kidney, wherever, to clear aggregates before they spread to the brain, shifting from late symptom management towards early prevention.
Which brings us back to
precision medicine, yep. Tailoring therapies to where the disease actually begins in each individual.
What an incredible journey we've taken. From seeing Parkinson's as just a brain disorder to this complex, multi-system condition with potentially multiple starting points, the old narrative is really being rewritten.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And this heterogeneity, this diversity, it has profound consequences. It helps explain why symptoms vary so much, why progression rates differ, why one-size-fits-all treatments often don't work optimally.
Right.
For diagnosis and therapy, it means we have to start thinking about these peripheral organs, the gut, the olfactory bulb, now maybe the kidney, not just as windows for early detection, but as potential targets for intervention.
So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway for our master's students in neurosciences listening in? What should they carry forward?
I think the key message is, Parkinson's is no longer just a brain disease. It's fundamentally a systemic disorder with multiple possible beginnings.
A multi-origin disease.
Yes. And understanding these diverse origins, this interplay between genetics and environment triggering peripheral or central onset, it will be absolutely critical for more precise diagnosis, for earlier intervention, and for developing truly personalized therapies down the line.
The field sounds wide open.
It is. It's ripe for innovation, really challenging us to connect neurology with microbiology, immunology, environmental science. It's a whole new landscape. So for you listening, what stands out most in this evolving picture? How might these new potential origins change the way you approach neurodegenerative research?
That's a fantastic question to ponder. Thank you so much for walking us through this fascinating and clearly rapidly changing landscape of Parkinson's disease research.
My pleasure. It's a critical time for the field.
Indeed. Until next time, everyone, keep exploring.